Ariel Herman from Rivertide, Hokkaido? It's not Hokkaido, no. I don't know how to say that word either.
So it's Rivertide Aikikai.
Aikikai.
Yes.
In Catskill, and along with our co-host Echo Rowe, you want to say hi so people know what your voice sounds like?
Hello.
And we're here to talk about a couple different things, and we're going to hopefully hook up with a phone caller in a few minutes, but Ariel's here to talk about the water walk that is a bunch of activists are walking along the proposed route of the Pilgrim Pipeline, which did they start all the way in London, New Jersey?
They started in Ramapo, yeah.
That's where the pipeline is supposed to end?
That's near... it's nearby the starting point or ending point, however you look at it, since the...
It goes both ways. Right?
Yeah, two pipelines, one going each direction.
From and with the refined materials coming back, and is it natural gas that flows to New Jersey?
No, fracked crude oil.
Fracked crude oil to New Jersey.
From North Dakota.
From North Dakota to New Jersey from Albany, and then refined... petroleum coming back up to Albany from New Jersey. Most of the frack stuff, though, gets sent to New Jersey and then shipped overseas, right?
Well, that's kind of a big mystery. The people proposing this set of pipelines has made all kinds of odd claims about supporting the Northeast energy infrastructure, but there is no evidence that any of this oil will be used anywhere in the Northeast, frankly, and it seems very likely, with the relatively recent ban on export of crude oil being lifted, that was last year or maybe even a little longer ago, but now it makes it feasible for them to ship the crude oil overseas, and that seems like by far a better market for them.
Right, because they've already got pipelines crossing into Massachusetts that they could take to the Northeast, right?
There are webs and webs.
How many pipelines are there around us right now? There's like six or proposed, or...
I don't even know that I could answer that.
I can't
there are
name
webs
them all.
Of oil pipelines and fracked gas pipelines. There's a lot. They're working on building an increasing infrastructure of pipelines throughout the country so that they can ship this crude oil and the gas from the fracking fields.
I guess the Constitution pipeline is the farthest along. It has not fully approved yet, but that's the one that I think runs along I-88. There's one along I-88. There's another one across Albany into Massachusetts. There's several to the south underneath us. And then the Pilgrim Pipeline is the one that runs right through us.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them, and it's easy to get them confused, like the gas pipelines and the oil pipeline. There are no other oil pipelines either in existence or proposed in New York. So this is kind of a unique situation. There are a lot of fracked gas pipelines, which of course is a related issue. But the oil pipelines are kind of a unique situation in this area in particular.
And where are we in general with the Pilgrim Pipeline? It's kind of been quiet lately. There haven't been public hearings. There haven't been meetings. What's going on with it?
So it's been quiet on Pilgrim's end. We haven't heard anything from them from quite a while since the DEC released their positive declaration, which was basically a statement that, yes, this looks like it could very likely have severe environmental impacts. And it was a very strong positive declaration from the DEC. Usually they'll put out a quick little thing saying, yeah, this might have impacts, but this was a 7-page detailed, with detailed points of different levels and different layers of environmental impact that they were basically suggesting, must be addressed in some way. And we haven't heard anything from Pilgrim since then, so the next step is for them to submit their draft environmental impact statement. And then there would be a public comment period.
After that. Which would be
great importance for all of us to step in and make our voices heard.
Is there any sign they're going to release that statement anytime soon? I haven't heard anything at all.
There hasn't been anything. People have theories of what they're waiting for. The market isn't great for oil right now. The prices are pretty low. Maybe they were waiting I mean, it's been since before the election, so we thought maybe they were waiting to see how the election panned out, to see if maybe they could get some kind of support from the federal government.
Scott Pruitt, the new EPA head, would seem like one that would want to approve this project. From his current actions, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, currently he doesn't have the authority to approve
it. He's not the one. Yeah.
But the federal government could potentially change the regulatory structure to claim that authority. I mean, it would be a process, but it's possible. You know, personally, I suspect that that's what they're looking for, because New York and New Jersey, you know, the local government, you know, municipal governments and the state governments, you know, it does not seem likely that Pilgrim is going to be getting much support from the states or from the, you know, towns, cities, villages. So I think they might be looking to try to go higher up to force it through. But again, the market's not great right now, so maybe they're in a waiting pattern because of that.
And I guess we should give a we haven't really given a basic reason why you're against the project. So why don't you tell us why you're against the project, the Pilgrim Pipeline project?
Sure. Well, for one thing, this has nothing to do with our own energy needs. As I mentioned before, they sort of have their own spiel about, you know, securing the Northeast energy infrastructure. But if you look at the pieces of what they're trying to do, and their claims of why our energy infrastructure is not secure, it's all nonsensical. The claims that they make that, you know, barges get stuck on the river are simply untrue. The U.S. Coast Guard makes sure that the shipping lanes on the Hudson River are completely clear at all times throughout the winter. Barges have never gotten stuck because of ice.
Well, we had a barge stuck in Catskill this year, right?
Ah, that's another issue. It wasn't stuck because of ice.
It wasn't ice that day.
It got grounded. We're still waiting to find out what happened with that. It was terrifying. It was a gasoline barge, which is pretty bad.
Full of gasoline, right?
Yeah, it was. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it was a massive amount of gasoline. And that barge lost its way and was headed straight for shore.
This is right by Dutchman's Landing, right?
Yes, it was at Dutchman's Landing. It got grounded. It got stuck. It took, I think, about... It was from morning to pretty late at night. It got stuck around 8 a.m. and it was, I think, around 10 p.m. when they finally got free. But there were, you know, a lot of decisions about what to do, what not to do to help get it free. And all of these decisions were potentially risky. We're risking leak. We're risking explosions. And as terrifying as that is, a huge gasoline explosion in the village of Catskill, if it was crude oil, it actually would have been much more dangerous.
If in the river or on the pipe, on the pipeline or on the, I mean, the oil is coming through here on trucks on the highways, on railway on the right, so up we, and down the Hudson.
Yeah.
The proposed pipeline is like parallel with the rail, and then the river is parallel with the rail. And the
yeah, we
pipeline.
Don't really have crude oil on trucks in this area at all, so that's not really relevant to the discussion. But what Pilgrim would love us to do would be to compare these different methods. I mean, this is what they're always trying to. Another claim that they try to make is that the pipelines will be safer. You know, you can change the math. You can look at it from different angles, whether you're looking, you know, at risks of spilling, looking at the size of the spills, the number of the spills, lives lost. There are many different ways that you can analyze the numbers to get whatever answers you want. But the reality is all of these methods are incredibly dangerous, and we do not need to be increasing our oil infrastructure. Our own survival depends on decreasing our dependence on oil, and we are well on our way to doing that, and that's where we need to be focusing our energy and our resources. You know, one of the most unique elements of the pipelines as opposed to the barges or the trains is that you're creating with pipelines an infrastructure to last at least 50 years. I mean, if we finally, you know, get to the point where we're lowering our dependence on oil, we can stop using the trains, we can stop using the barges. But once these pipelines are built and, you know, these investors, all these private investors have invested, you know, millions, billions of dollars into creating this infrastructure, they're going to make damn well sure that they get their money back. So they're going to do everything they can to continue using these pipelines as long as possible.
And I can think off the top of my head of one Hudson River accident, but off the top of my head, I can think of 10 pipeline accidents in the past year. I mean, the pipelines are leaking. I mean, what's the one in North Dakota? They finally approved it, and then it like started leaking 30 days later or something, right?
It actually started leaking before it was in use.
So.
Before it was even in use, it was leaking.
The Dakota pipeline, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was leaking, I think, into one of the rivers, one of the tributaries that goes into, the area that was, the huge concern with the Dakota Access Pipeline. They leak constantly. And again, there's these bizarre claims. We have this new technology that it's going to prevent leaks. But you can find dozens of articles about pipeline leaks that specifically refer to that point. The smart pigs, they claim, are these little instruments that sort of shuttle through the pipelines and find weak points or flaws. But the reality is that's just information that is sent to humans who then analyze that information, and they either analyze it wrong, or many times they look at it, see a problem, and just ignore it. There's so many reasons why, this information does not get applied. And a lot of times these smart pigs are not so smart to begin with, and they don't find problems that do exist. So there have been tons of leaks in pipelines and new pipelines that do have this, great new technology. It just doesn't work. The majority of pipeline spills are found by passersby, by farmers on their farmland when they find a giant pool of crude oil like seeping up into their crops, by people walking down past a river and seeing an oil slick on the surface of the river. They're barely ever found by the people who are supposed to be monitoring these situations and keeping them safe.
All right. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the pipeline and why you're against it while I try to reach Megan, one of the walkers, and we'll get her on the phone.
Sure. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the walk, actually, and why we love being a part of this and being able to support it. We talk a lot about the risks of the pipelines and the dangers that we face and the threats to our drinking water, our communities. But what this walk is about building the community, is about building support, about creating this connection and this positive energy that's going to, re-energize us in our fights to protect our communities and our environments.
Is there anything else that you want to say about it?
We've invited the Peace Walkers to come to Rivertide Aikikai for their evening and overnight rest in between their walk from Saugerties to Catskill and from Catskill to Ravenna. These issues are really important to us at Rivertide, specifically because we are a center for the way of harmony with universal energy. And our concept of that idea of harmony includes building community with our neighbors, building these connections, and also protecting the environment around us, and which, of course, we're all dependent on.
Are people walking with them? Can you join up with them?
Yes, anybody can join the walk at any point. If people want to join them for one day or join them for 1 mile, they're absolutely welcome to. I myself am going to be joining them the next morning. So Monday morning, I'll be leaving Catskill with them and heading towards Ravenna.
Are they walking the route of the pipeline? Or are they walking 9W, or do you know what?
The route has varied a little bit along the way, but they're trying to focus on two elements. One is the Hudson River, of course, is a big focus of this, the importance of the Hudson River, the sacredness and importance of our waters. So portions of the walk have followed the river pretty much, and other portions of the walk have followed along close by to the proposed pipeline's route.
The route of the pipeline is actually closer to the interstate. Is that it? Basically,
yes,
is right next to the interstate. Except in Catskill, it jumps off a couple points.
There are a number of places where it jumps off, but what Pilgrim Pipelines were trying to do is primarily use the New York State Thruway right of way in order to build the pipeline. It makes it much simpler for them. In terms of, you know, getting access to property on which they can plop these pipelines. But it does come off the thruway in many areas, in many different towns.
Athens, too.
Yes.
I think Blackthorn Farms has been against it. Their property is abuts it or crosses it,
I think they're planning to go through that property. Yeah, yeah.
And in Catskill, it goes off and around. It goes around the Catskill Creek and over it in a way that the town of Catskill is a little concerned about, I believe.
Yeah, there are many things that the town and the village of Catskill are concerned about regarding the route of the pipelines. One is all of the creek crossings, the Catskill Creek, and basically every single waterway that we have is being crossed. Every single, you know, creek, river is being crossed.
That goes into the Hudson. They're all...
Yeah, all tributaries of the Hudson.
Go into the Hudson. If they're within a mile or two of the Hudson, yeah, they're going in.
I think it may have been 257...
streams or creeks or bodies
crossings
of water.
Yeah, in New York State. Yeah, I mean, it's intense. And some of them more than once. The Hudson River, in fact, they're planning to cross twice. But the other issue in the village of Catskill, for the village of Catskill, even though the pipeline route doesn't enter into the village of Catskill, it does cross through or over or under. Nobody really knows exactly what's being proposed, but it crosses the sole water supply for the village of Catskill.
Drinking water. Yeah.
Drinking water supply, yeah. So the entire village of 4,000 plus people, if there was any issue with, you know, a leak in that area or damage done during the construction of the pipelines, the entire village of 4,000 plus people would be without drinking water completely.
And have all the, I know most of the towns along the route, have all the towns along the route opposed this, or at least locally? Catskill has opposed it. Athens has opposed it. Ravenna.
A lot of them have. Funny, it's been a little while since I've talked about all of the numbers and statistics regarding the pipelines. But it was definitely over 30 municipalities have passed resolutions of some kind against the pipelines. And one of the things that we've been working on is getting a bill passed in the New York State legislature that addresses the law that Pilgrim Pipelines is actually depending on in order to create these pipelines. It's called New York Pipeline Transportation Code. I might be mangling the title slightly. But this is the law that gives them the authority to build. But this law also has restrictions. And one of the restrictions is that in order to build a pipeline through any incorporated village or city, they need to get a 2/3 or more vote from the municipal government. So when
2/3 of the town board or 2/3 of the people in the town?
Not town, only incorporated villages and cities. This law was written in the early 1900s. And the only thing that we can imagine, you know, why this language in particular is because the majority of populations were only in villages and cities. There wasn't really a thing such as towns that we understand them to be now. Now, of course, there's as many people in towns as there are in villages, as there are in cities. Well, maybe not as many as cities, but you know what I mean? So we're just trying to get the law changed just to include the word towns. And it's just basic logic. It makes sense. You know, we have huge populations in towns. It's just as relevant for towns to have this authority as it is for villages or cities to have this authority to approve or deny projects such as this. So that has been... it's been proposed a number of times. It hasn't been able to make its way all the way through the legislature. It's the Skartatos bill. I hope I'm not pronouncing his name
wrong. Is S-K-A-R-T-O-D-O-S or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, so we're still working on getting that passed. And then, you know, basically all of the towns that have passed non-binding resolutions against the pipeline will have the legal authority to say, nope, not going to happen.
And but the town of Catskill has put out, like, a village or town, both have put out resolutions against.
Yes, yes. When it came to the village's attention, you know, how important this was to the village water supply, they got involved at that point, and the town had already passed a resolution against the pipelines. It's also, you know, a huge risk to the development plans of the town of Catskill. The proposed route goes through areas that that the town of Catskill has been working on developing, and it would severely damage those prospects.
And there are basically no benefits locally for this project.
There's
the oil and the gas goes to other places, so we're not helping our particular energy needs here in this area.
We're not, and we don't have a shortage. You know, they're claiming to address a shortage that doesn't exist, and none of the oil, you know, none of these resources would be used locally. It's not going to lower your gasoline bills when you fill your car. It's not going to lower your home heating costs. It's not going to have any positive impact whatsoever on any of the towns, villages, cities that it passes through. Just risk.
They say jobs, but the jobs are all only in the building. Once it's built, there's very little monitoring jobs, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, any job creation is a big deal. You know, we live in an area where it's a real struggle for a lot of people to find decent paying work. So, you know, when I'm speaking about this proposal, I never want to minimize the relevance of job creation. But on the other hand, there's so much potential job creation in renewable energies. And again, I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but the numbers already in terms of the growth of renewables and job creation, I mean, it's huge. It's huge. There's so many jobs being created with solar, with wind. And, you know, we could become part of that and create so many more jobs, better jobs, safer jobs that are also not going to destroy our drinking water or, you know, create explosions in our creeks or any of the other, you know, potential dangers that
and
we're
instead
facing.
This project, I mean, you could have somebody monitoring on a computer screen, you know, the readings from the various, you know, things on sensors on the pipeline, right? Mm-hmm. But that job's probably elsewhere, right? That computer is probably in a city else, you know, where there's
Yeah, the long-term jobs are, I mean, there's barely any long-term jobs.
I mean, maybe there's a guy or a woman that's hired to walk up and down the line, you know, but they're not going to hire that many people to walk up and down the line. I don't think they probably hire anyone, right?
Yeah, they really don't.
But that's the only job locally that there could possibly be, and it's basically one person, maybe, and we don't think they're even going to hire that.
No, there's really not going to be any long-term local jobs. I mean, you know, the big potential for job creation would be potential, and it's not even, you know, necessarily reality, but the, you know, potential would be the construction jobs, which for people in that field would be, you know, could be pretty relevant. But on the other
that's
hand,
6 months maybe at the tops, right?
Yeah. But on the other hand, we also have, you know, seen evidence that in situations like this, they very well might import those construction jobs from elsewhere. There's a big company in Tennessee that has been used. Yeah,
so often they come and build pipelines. And so they may hire a few extra workers, but they're bringing their crew that has built pipelines before.
Yeah, there may not even be, you know, any you know, significant number of construction jobs either. We don't really know.
What can people do if they want to do something, either pro or con? You know, there's politicians to call or
oh yes, things.
What can you do if you want to do something about this issue?
So if you'd like more information, there's a ton of information on the Stop Pilgrim Pipeline website, and there's also it's been going on for a while that this has been organized, a Call Cuomo Mondays. So Cuomo doesn't have the authority to say this pipeline can't happen. But what he does have the authority to do is to deny Pilgrim's application for a right of way on the thruway. They actually, you know, since they want to use the thruway longitudinally, they have to get a special permit, and he could be very instrumental in stopping that from happening, which would, in effect, kill the project altogether. So every Monday, we encourage people to call this number, 866-846-4075, and tell Cuomo to stop the Pilgrim pipelines.
And he hasn't really said anything...
Nothing.
One way or the other about this, right?
No, he's keeping his mouth shut about all of it, which in a way is appropriate. You know, technically it needs to go through the DEC process. It needs to go through the environmental review process. So, you know, on that end, it wouldn't be appropriate for him to say, you know, that it can't happen, you know, but on, you know, in on other levels, you know, he could be speaking up about it, and he really could stop it altogether if he wanted to.
And other local politicians, have they? Do you have people in your camp locally, or are there people for this project locally? Or
well, our co-sponsor for the Skartatos bill in the Senate is our own George Amador. So that was very encouraging. A conservative Republican representative who has agreed that you know, the local rights are important. I don't know how he feels about the pipeline project itself, but I think what he does recognize is, you know, kind of this idea of home rule, that we have the right to decide what happens in our own communities.
Conservatives have been pretty adamant against eminent domain, and there's eminent domain in this project taking away people's property for the pipeline, right?
Yeah, Pilgrim is basically claiming that anybody, you know, any private property owner or municipal, there's quite a few municipal properties even in the town of Catskill that they're planning to use. But Pilgrim is basically claiming that anybody who does not give them access, they are going to use eminent domain to take access. And there's some debate over whether or not they have the authority to do that. But they're planning to.
And I'm going to try to reach Megan once again, but maybe while I do that, you can has this moved anywhere recently, the project? I mean, it's so quiet. Are they doing anything? Are the Pilgrim Pipeline people secretly doing something behind the scenes, or
I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing something behind the scenes, but there's nothing that we know of in particular. Again, it's easy to speculate and start rumors, but we prefer not to do that. Which actually reminds me of a point that I would like to make. A lot of people have brought up to CAP members, CAP being the Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipelines, some construction that's been going on the median of the thruway, kind of, you know, north of Catskill. And I hear a lot of people saying, oh, they're building the pipelines. So I always try to reassure people, it's not possible. It's absolutely not feasible. They are not anywhere near being able to do any kind of construction, and there would not be any pipeline construction in the median of the thruway. It just wouldn't ever happen.
They're talking about on one side or the other, not in the middle.
Yeah, on the right of way, not in the middle of the road. It simply wouldn't happen.
It doesn't make sense. They'd have to
do
pipes over the cars or under the cars or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Yeah.
And to even get the construction equipment in between the lanes, it just would never, ever be possible.
Do you have any sense of a timeline on this, of when something might happen or if?
None. I mean, you know, every time they've put out public statements, it's always, you know, oh, we're going to start digging in, you know, 2014. And, well, now we're in 2017.
Nothing so far. And is there a local group, if people want to get involved, should they call you, or there's other folks in Ulster County? I think they've organized like a Pilgrim Pipeline Town Hall, I believe, a couple months ago.
Yeah, we've had a number of like public information meetings in different towns. We've had a couple of them in Catskill over the past couple years, and they're just all up and down the route. People have been organizing. So CAP New York is the organization, and there's a CAP New Jersey as well. New Jersey has also been very, very active in fighting the pipelines. They actually started earlier than us, I think, because some of the surveying and some of the activity of Pilgrim Pipelines started a little earlier in New Jersey. So they've been very active for a long time. But CAP New York, we have actually meetings usually at the Kingston Unitarian Universalist Church. They've been so supportive and involved in this fight against the pipelines. And we've been having our meetings there, which happen every other month or so. And there's a weekly call for people, you know, an organizing call every single week for people who really are interested in getting involved in this in a deep way. There's so much to do. Even with Pilgrim being quiet, you know, when they start to act, they might move very, very quickly. So it's good that we have this time to keep building awareness, to keep, you know, strategizing, to keep, you know, bringing our resources together. We need to use this opportunity to stay really strong in this fight, so that when they do make a move, we're ready.
And the Water Walk is taking a break today, but tomorrow it's moving from Kingston to Saugerties, and then Sunday from Saugerties to Catskill, and then they're staying with you on Sunday
yes.
night?
Yes. So they are going to be arriving in the village of Catskill probably around 4 p.m. They're going to be landing right in front of Hilo on Main Street, Catskill.
So if anybody wants to meet at Hilo on Sunday afternoon and have a drink...
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to be trying to post updates, you know, as I know more specifically what their timing is going to be. I'm going to try to post updates on...
Where are you posting those?
On our Facebook event page that we have for the Catskill Gathering for the Water Walk for Life.
So search for Catskill Water Walk on Facebook and you'll find it?
Yeah, Water Walk for Life Catskill should bring you right to the Facebook event page.
And that's Sunday afternoon, so people can visit with the walkers Sunday afternoon?
Yeah. So if you'd like to meet the walkers in the village when they arrive, that would be great. And then afterwards, from about 5 to 8 p.m., we're going to be having a potluck dinner and gathering at Rivertide Aikikai. And that is at 3198 Old Kings Road. And that's where they're going to be staying overnight until they begin their walk again the next morning. But you can come just to connect with the Peace Walkers. You can come to learn more about the Pilgrim Pipelines and what you can do to fight it. Even if you don't know if you want to fight it, if you just want to learn more about it, we have a lot of information and we're happy to talk to anyone who's interested.
And you're also hosting an event tonight.
Yes. Once a month on every fourth Friday, we've been having a community sound bath. So the community sound bath is a meditative concert played on traditional healing instruments. And this is performed by Lavender Suarez. She's a Reiki practitioner and musician, and she has a sound healing practice in Hillsdale, New York. And we've been really honored to have her coming to our space once a month to offer this sound bath at our location. And I can't say enough about it. I had never experienced anything like this before we started working with Lavender, and it's really exquisite. It's so relaxing, and it's I think it's an incredible healing practice. You just come to the dojo. It's from 6 to 7 p.m. You just come. If you want to bring a blanket or a yoga mat to lay on or a blanket to put over you, that's fine. You just lay down. You relax. You feel the music washing over you. It's really, really lovely. And what else? Did I miss any important information about that?
Does it cost anything?
Oh, yeah, that would be relevant. So we call it a community sound bath because it's very important to us that it is open to the community. It's a suggested donation of $5 to $30. So whatever works for you is great. And we're happy to have people there.
6 to 7 tonight?
Yes, 6 to 7 p.m.
Tell the address again.
It's at Rivertide Aikikai, which is 3198 Old Kings Road. So Old Kings Road is just off of 23A, and our building is the first building on the left that you see when you turn on.
And Sunday, the water walk will also be there. First meeting at Hilo, and then the potluck is at?
Is at Rivertide, yes.
And at what time is that?
That's from about 5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Yeah, so right. There will be some people speaking. I think there's going to be a little music. It's going to be a really nice gathering.
All right, that all sounds great. Busy weekend in Catskill with the water walk coming. And am I leaving anything out?
Not that I know of. I think we hit all the main points. At least the the things that I'm involved in.
All right. Well, thank you so much for helping out today and telling us all about this. Everybody in Catskill, again, tell the event details. Tonight is the sound healing at...
Tonight is Community Sound Bath at Rivertide Aikikai, 3198 Old Kings Road in Catskill at 6 p.m. And on Sunday, we're going to be welcoming the Peace Walkers from the Water Walk for Life. We're going to be hosting a potluck dinner and gathering. Everyone is welcome. Bring a dish to share and come hang out with us between 5 and 8 p.m. again at Rivertide Aikikai, 3198 Old Kings Road.